Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So this week we are looking at the next meditation, which is the advantages of cherishing others. So as I mentioned in previous weeks, what we're doing now over quite a number of meditations is we're working on love, essentially. And it's like working on it from lots of different angles. So it starts out with sort of wearing down a little bit our unbalanced attitudes, how we see everyone just in terms of how they affect us. And then we work on that self-cherishing, which, you know, really blocks our love. Now we're going to really look at the benefits of love. And this can help us to just be a little bit more confident in, allowing ourselves to focus on pure love. So emphasis on pure. Because pure love is love not mixed with attachment. There's no self-interest. It's a very special mind that everyone can benefit from, because as we'll see, it's a very protecting mind, pure love. It protects us from jealousy, loneliness, selfishness, anger, resentment, bitterness, even from being estranged. You know, so sometimes there are difficult relationships in life. Maybe you could even say often there are difficult relationships in life. And I think this time of year, particularly, we're approaching Christmas. And I find it very helpful to teach on love at this time of year. It's often I will teach on love. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be with people at Christmas. These teachings work whether you are with people, maybe too many people, for too long, or someone who's stressed. You know, you want to have a lovely time, but this person's stressed, or this person's drunk too much, or whatever it is, you know, and there's some difficulties can come from being with people, or it's not living up to our expectations. You know, we imagine it to be a certain way. Everyone imagines Christmas, don't they? Now that's why it's such a big selling thing. Yeah, because we imagine what Christmas will be like. We're nostalgic about previous Christmases, which is a kind of attachment, actually. We're attached to the past. And that actually sometimes gets in the way of being able to enjoy the present, because, it's not quite how it was in the past, or it's not living up to how it was in the past. Inevitably, things change. We change, others change, everything changes. And for other people, Christmas might be being on their own, and that can also be difficult. I think one thing that is true is that whatever our Christmas looks like, it tends to be heightened because it's Christmas. So we find ourselves alone at Christmas. It's not the same as being alone on other days, is it? Maybe we experience grief at Christmas for those that we've lost. Love even helps to protect us from grief, because grief is really focused on what I've lost. Whether that's just grief that my children have grown up, or my youth is in the past, or whether it's grief for this person that has died. Love also protects us from grief. It's quite an amazing mind. It protects us from jealousy. Yeah, so often children suffer because they get jealous of each other at Christmas. You know, they can't enjoy what they've received because they haven't received what they've received. It's ridiculous, really, isn't it? You know, so the jealousy. But, you know, even adults, if they're honest, can have a few wee pangs. grown-up children can easily become children again at Christmas. We fall into those patterns, and maybe we also find ourselves feeling feelings that seem ridiculous, you know, where we're feeling jealous of our sibling, or, focusing on ourselves in some kind of negative way. So love sometimes is described as a universal panacea. And in this case, it really is, if we can get to the pure love. It's got to be pure. So what does that mean? It means that there isn't the self-interest. So first of all, love is a mind. So sometimes I like to think that, you know, with things like being estranged, maybe there's that difficult relationship and we feel there's nothing we can do. We've tried everything. So that can feel very powerless, can't it? And or maybe the situation makes us feel powerless. But I like to think how if we have love in our hearts, we're connected. They actually don't get to decide. So it's quite powerful, actually. You know, like that. I'm not estranged in my heart. Yeah, I can hold this person in love. I'm not. Look, what do we want? We want connection. Human beings, we want connection with others. Yeah, so with pure love, we get connection. We get the best kind of connection. But it's this understanding that love is a mind. It's a mental action. It's an internal experience. So I was thinking about how, you know, sometimes people say that love hurts, or they say, I need to protect myself. Like, love has made me vulnerable to pain. Actually, it's not the love. It's the attachment that makes us vulnerable to pain. So love, I think of it a bit like a superpower. You know, it radiates out. It's a radiant mind. They used to have a nice word for this in Norwegian, which was strålende, which is like the rays of light from a sun, you know? Strålende, like strolling out, radiating out. So if you think about love as like this, so love is going out, so it protects you. It protects you from pain. Your mind isn't in here so much. It's out there. If you're loving others, then impossible to be jealous of them. If you're loving others purely, just wishing for their happiness, then you're not needing anything from them. It's a very nourishing mind, the love. If you're loving others purely, you can make that distinction between them and their delusions. So you can keep the love. So you can let go of the anger, the bitterness, the resentment. Doesn't necessarily mean you need to get all tangled up with them again, but you can love them. If you're focused on loving others, you won't feel lonely. So I had a student who lived in a tower block. And he had some health conditions that meant that he stayed inside most of the time. And he used to sit in this tiny little kitchen. He was always very happy, a very happy person. He started meditating at 65, so, you know, not early on in his life. And from one point of view, he already had some mental health issues, some early dementia and so on. But what I witnessed was that his dementia reversed. He became a monk at the age of 80. His life changed. He and his wife both became monk and nun. She did it a bit earlier, 10 years earlier or something. And they moved into a Manjushri center down in the Lake District where they died. The most extraordinary transformation of this last period of their life. Anyway, he used to sit, when he first met the teachings, one of his main practices was he would sit on the chair in the kitchen. He had his little cozy corner. And I think he often had the radio on even, but, you know, the radio was just on in the background. The main thing he was doing was radiating love. Right? Thinking of all the people in the building, and he'd just be like, radiating, radiating love. And, of course, whenever he went out of the apartment, he was so happy to see people, and they were so happy to see him, because he was so happy to see them, you know? So he was sort of renowned as being this lovely person, you know, smiling, hi, so happy to see everyone. You know why? Because he'd been holding them in his mind of love. And he didn't feel lonely. He had this, he was having a great time actually. Roger was his name. He was having a wonderful time up there, just giving love. It made him so happy. So this is all explained in this section, The Advantages of Cherishing Love. It talks about all the benefits of love, like I've just explained, pure love. Also, we can understand that through having this mind of love, of course, then we engage in positive actions, body, speech, and mind. In other words, we create very, very positive karma with that mind of love. So love by nature makes us feel happy. It's a little bit of a paradox, because self-cherishing is telling us, think about yourself to be happy. Yeah, that's what it's telling us all the time, all day long. And it's almost like we have this little sort of leap of faith, and we think, well, it hasn't really worked. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try loving others. So we move our mind off ourself. We think about others with love, and we find what we've been looking for all along, which is that happiness. So it's not like our main motivation, because sometimes we read this and we're like, well, isn't that feeding into our self-cherishing? It's more like it's feeding into our wisdom. It's like, well, what you're doing, it's okay to want to be happy. That is okay, but not at the expense of others. And so when we really discover the happiness that comes from loving others, it's a very special kind of happiness. So this is a little bit, this is my secret technique. If I'm ever having some difficult feelings inside, I work for others. That's, I look at my life, that's my life. No, but that I will take refuge in working for others. Because it makes me, it just takes my mind off myself immediately. Yeah, so whether it's updating the website or cleaning a toilet or, whatever, it actually works. Move your mind off yourself onto others. It alleviates the suffering that's coming from the self-cherishing. And then the final benefit that it mentions is that it leads us very naturally along that path to enlightenment. From the love comes the compassion. If you have love, pure love, and then you see others are suffering, compassion arises naturally, just spontaneously. If there's no love, we don't feel very much when we see others suffering. So love, universal love, compassion, universal or great compassion. That leads us to wanting to complete the spiritual path for the benefit of others. What does that mean? I think in simple terms, it means liberating our consciousness. Realizing the full potential of the mind. And so that will take us in the direction of enlightenment. This sublime inner peace of a completely free mind that's born from universal love and universal compassion mixed with wisdom. So spiritually, it's also an incredibly beneficial mind. So it's going to protect us from suffering, loneliness, attachment, anger, resentment, and so on. It's going to make us happy. It's going to create the causes of future happiness and lead us along the spiritual path to enlightenment. So we think about all those benefits and we just think, right, well, I need this. Maybe I need this more than an extension. I need love. And that aspiration, that spiritual aspiration, will take us in the direction of love. So that's what we're going to meditate on. The advantages of cherishing others, leading us to a determination to actually cherish others. Okay? So if you'd like to close your eyes, gather your awareness inwards. And just contemplate all of the different reasons that we looked at, all of the advantages of cherishing others. Think to yourself about the advantages of cherishing others. It says in this section, that if we deeply think that others are important and that their happiness and freedom are important, we are cherishing others. If we cherish others, we will always have good relationships and live in harmony with others. And our daily life will be peaceful and happy. contemplating the advantages of cherishing others, we can think to ourselves, the precious mind that cherishes all living beings protects both myself and others from suffering. Brings pure and everlasting happiness. And fulfills the wishes of both myself and others. Contemplating in this way, try to arrive at your own strong determination. I must always cherish all living beings without exception. I must always cherish all living beings without exception. Without losing this determination, we can allow ourselves to arise from meditation.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.